Kunjabihari Jai Ho Radha Jai Ho Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Gopi Chanda Vallabha Girivardhana Jai Gopi Janda Vallabha Girivardhari Yashoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjana Yashoda Nandana Vajajana Ranjana Yamuna Tira Vanachari Yamuna Tira Vanachari Kunjaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari Jaya Radha Madhava Kunjabihari
Jai Mr. Bhad Paramahansa Buddhika Charger, Ashtotar Tadashri Shimada Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada Ki Jai, ISKCON BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai, Jai Om Vishnu Bhad Paramahansa Buddhika Charger, Ashtotar Tadashri Shimada, His Divine Grace, Srila Bhakti Siddhanta Saraswati Thakur Ki Jai, Ananta Koti Vaishnavinda Ki Jai, Namacharya Srila Haridas Thakur Ki Jai, Kuntaraj Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai, Samaveta Bhakta Vrinda ki jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to Sri Guru and Gauranga. Narayanam Namaskritya. Narang Chaivan Narottamam Devim Saraswatim Vyasam Tato Jai Mudirayet. Before reciting the Srimad Bhagavatam, which is our very means of conquest, we should offer our respectful obeisances unto Lord Narayan, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, unto Nara Narayan Rishi, the supermost human being, unto Mother Saraswati, the goddess of learning, unto Srila Vyasadeva, the author, and unto Srila Prabhupada, the translator, commentator, and our spiritual master. Nashtapayesha bhandreshu Nityam bhagavata sevaya Bhagavatyuttama shloke Bhaktim bhavati naishtiki. By rendering devotional service unto the pure devotee and to the Supreme Personality of Godhead, all that is inauspicious within the heart is destroyed almost to nil, and loving devotional service to the Supreme Lord, who is glorified in the best of songs, is established as an irrevocable fact. Sorry, I forgot one element of that translation. By attending classes on Srimad Bhagavatam and rendering devotional service, that's part of Prabhupada's translation. Sorry about that. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om
On this 19th day of November 2012 in Alachua, Florida, we're reading from Srimad Bhagavatam, translation and commentary by His Divine Grace A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Prabhupada. Canto 10, Chapter 13, Brahma Stealing the Boys and Calves. Text number 51.
Atmadistambaparyantar
Murtimanbhischaracharai
Nritya Gitya Janaikarthai
Pritak
Pritak Upasitaha Atmadistamba Paryantar
Murtiman
Bhischaracharai Nritya Gitya Janaikarthai Pritak Pritak Upasitaha Atmadistamba Paryantar
Murtiman
Bhischaracharai Nritya Gitya Janaikarthai
Pritak
Pritak Upasitaha Atmadistamba Paryantar Murtiman Bhischaracharai Nitya Gitya Janaikarthai Pritak Pritak Upasitaha Atmadistamba Paryantar Murtiman Bhischaracharai Nritya Gitya Janaikarthai Pritak Pritak Upasitaha Atmadistamba Paryantar Murtiman Bhischaracharai Nritya Gitya Janaikarthai Pritak Pritak Upasitaha Ladies Atmadistamba Paryantar Characharai Nritya Gitya Janaikarthai Pritak Pritak Upasitaha Atmadistamba Paryantar Murtiman Bhischaracharai Nritya Gitya Janaikarthai Pritak Upasitaha
Atmadistamba
Paryantai Murtiman Bhischaracharai Nritya Gitya Janaikarthai Pritak Pritak Upasitaha Murtiman Bhischaracharai Atma Adistamba Paryantai. From Lord Brahma, from Lord Brahma to the insignificant living entity. Murtiman Bihi. Assuming some form. Chara Acharai.
Both the moving and the non-moving.
Nritya Gita Adi Aneka Arhai
By many varied means of worship,
such as dancing and singing, Pritak Pritak,
differently,
Upasitaha,
who were being worshipped.
Translation, all beings, both moving and non-moving, from the four-headed Lord Brahma down to the most insignificant living entity, had taken forms and were differently worshipping those Vishnu Murtis, according to their respective capacities, with various means of worship, such as dancing and singing. See the Prophet's purport. Innumerable living entities are engaged in different types of worship of the Supreme, according to their abilities and karma. But everyone is engaged, Jivera Swarupoi, Krishnera Nityadas. There is no one who is not serving. Therefore, the Mahabhagavad, the topmost devotee, sees everyone as being engaged in the service of Krishna. Only himself does he see as not engaged. We have to elevate ourselves from a lower position to a higher position. And the topmost position is that of direct service in Vrindavan. But everyone is engaged in service. Denial of the service of the Lord is maya. Ekale Ishwara Krishna ar sabhavritya. Jare jaiche nachai se taiche kare nritya. Only Krishna is the Supreme Master and all others are His servants. As Krishna desires, everyone dances according to His tune. CC Adi 5142. There are two kinds of living entities, the moving and the non-moving. Trees, for example, stand in one place, whereas ants move. Brahma saw that all of them, down to the smallest creatures, had assumed different forms and were accordingly engaged in the service of Lord Vishnu. One receives a form according to the way one worships the Lord. In the material world, the body one receives is guided by the demigods. This is sometimes referred to as the influence of the stars. As indicated in the Bhagavad Gita 3:27 by the words prakate kriyamanani, according to the laws of nature, one is controlled by the demigods. All living entities are serving Krishna in different ways, but when they are Krishna conscious, their service is fully manifest. As a flower in the bud gradually fructifies and yields its desired aroma and beauty, so when a living entity comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, the beauty of his real form comes into full blossom. That is the ultimate beauty and the ultimate fulfillment of desire. Om jnana tamarandasya jnananjana shalakaya chakshu unmiditam mena tasmai shri gurave namaha. I was born in the darkness of ignorance. My spiritual master, Srila Prabhupada, opened my eyes with the torchlight of knowledge. I offer my humble obeisances unto him and all members of Sri Parampara. Here, Brahma is continuing to have his revelation. Krishna is revealing to him what's really going on in Vrindavan. Brahma had tried to challenge Krishna with his mystic power. And because he did, Krishna's mystic power overwhelmed him and bewildered him. This is called the Brahma Vimohan Leela. Brahma completely bewildered. And after a whole year, you know the story, Brahma had taken Krishna's calves and boys and put them into some mystic slumber. And Krishna immediately expanded in identical forms, as identical boys and calves, with all of their idiosyncrasies, their dress, their moods, and everything. So much so that even their mothers and the cows could not recognize their own children. And they just took them to be their regular children. But they were actually Krishna. And so their love amazingly increased. They already loved their children. They loved Krishna more. Now suddenly their love for their children increased to the state that it had been for Krishna. So all of this, the already full ocean of ecstatic love that is Vrindavan, just overflowed even more. Because all of these calves and boys were now actually Krishna. So this was how Krishna chose to bewilder Brahma. Brahma came back after a moment of his time, which was a whole year, in Vrindavan, and he saw that nothing had changed. He thought Krishna would be bewildered, that Krishna would be, where are my calves, where are my boyfriends? But no, he just kept on playing. And that didn't compute for Brahma, because everything looked identical. And he checked, and sure enough, there were the boys and the calves under the mystic slumber, and here's another whole other set of boys and calves. So you can understand how that would bewilder him. So after kind of being stunned by that, After a little while, Krishna manifested all these calves and all these boys suddenly showed themselves to be Vishnu forms. And it's described how they were fully decorated from head to toe. They had tulsi manjaris and leaves on them. And now we see all of the living entities in Vrindavan are worshipping them. And that's what's being described here. That even from four-headed Lord Brahma, he also took part in the worship very reasonably. And even down to the little ants, they were all doing their specific services, whatever they could do, especially by dancing and singing. So suddenly, there's this big celebration going on, and Brahma's really bewildered now. Now he understands. He understands that he has foolishly tried to challenge Krishna with his mystic power. And the point is made in a few texts back that when a person of lesser power tries to challenge a person of greater power, then their attempt to show that power itself causes the reaction that then humbles them. And that's what's happening here with Brahma. So now in the purport, Srila Prabhupada makes the point that everyone is worshipping Krishna already. We know, Krishna says in the fourth chapter of Bhagavad Gita that as anyone, all of them, surrender to me, I reciprocate. Exactly according to that. So how is that chair or any living entity, how is that bush out there worshiping Krishna? Because this is a special case. This is a dham, so they are actually doing direct worship. But the point is that the scientists, for instance, oftentimes scientists, they may believe in God superficially, but really they believe in their power to investigate matter and to manipulate it and to, first of all, learn the truths of matter and then to manipulate for our benefit, for technology and so forth. So they're really worshipping matter. This is called Asad Upasana. It's spoken of in the 87th chapter. Worshipping the dead matter, Asat. So how does Krishna reciprocate with them? Well, they are absorbed in the modes of material nature. As Prabhupada quotes, Prakriti Kriyamanani, everything's really being done by nature, but they're thinking they're doing something. That we're in control. And so the reciprocation is that they stay bound up by the modes of material nature and punished. Now, that's because it's indirect worship. This is indirect. Instead of worshiping Krishna directly, they're worshiping Krishna's energy. The same holds true for the demigod worshippers. Krishna explicitly says that in the Bhagavad Gita. Whatever you get from this worship of the gods, right? And there's always some motive. You want some wealth, you want some health, you want some better birth, whatever, in the next life. That's actually coming from me. But it's avidipurvakam. You're doing it not according to my instructions. And therefore, the results that you get are limited and temporary. And basically, he's saying only fools will do that. Alpamedasam. Andavattu palam tesham tadvavalti alpamedasam. You worship the gods, you go to the gods. You worship me, you come to me. You worship matter, and you stay bound up here. You know, and for suffering, birth, old age, disease, and death. So the reciprocation is perfect. You see? When we come to our senses, after many, many births, and we understand that everything is Vasudev, Bohonam Dramanamante Gyanavanam Papadite, Vasudevik Sarvamati Samahatma Sudulabha. This is what's being shown here. Everything is Vasudeva. Everything is Vishnu. It's Vishnu directly, or it's Vishnu's energies. And we ourselves, our constitutional position, as Prabhupada mentions here, Jivera Sorupoi Krishnera Nityadas, that our actual constitutional position is to be servants of Krishna. Directly, Krishna conscious. With the understanding that whatever energy is here is Krishna's energy, is meant for his service, and to be aware of Krishna, the person, as we act in this world. at every moment. That's our constitutional position. And then we're not really of this world anymore. And at the end of this encasement in this particular body, we go to the spirit world, the spiritual world, the kingdom of God, where everyone is of that consciousness, fully Krishna conscious, even the so-called inanimate objects, so-called. Nothing is inanimate there. Everything is purely conscious. So that's the goal, the ideal goal of the living entity, every living entity in this world. But having turned away from Krishna, having refused to be Krishna conscious, wanting to be Krishna instead of servants of Krishna, we're put into this world. We're still serving Krishna, but indirectly. That's the problem. And so we're getting our just desserts, and that's the 1S dessert. In other words, we're getting what we deserve. You're not getting the nice desserts from yesterday. And the just desserts means exactly according to how you act in relation to this material world, whether against the Vedic injunctions, whether very selfishly and sinfully and demonically, you'll get reciprocation just like that. So in this particular verse, the lesson being taught is that everything there in Vrindavan is directly worshiping Krishna. They're all dancing. They're all singing. The little leaves are moving this way, you see. And this reminds me of the vision of the gopis. The gopis are our ideal devotees, and they're seeing the world like that. They're seeing Vrindavan like that. There's two chapters that describe their consciousness as they're in the songs. The Venu Geet and the Yugal Geet especially seem pertinent here because they talk about different elements in Vrindavan and how they're relating to Krishna. And for instance, the cloud. Normally you don't think a cloud is serving. How is the cloud going to serve Krishna? But it describes it. Sahabalak. I like this verse because it describes Krishna with Balaram. Here you are with Krishna Balaram. Sahabalak sagavatam sabalasa sanashu chidipato vrajadevya. Harshiyan nyahi vena devena jata harshu padambati vishwam. Mahatatikamanashankata cheta mandamanda managarchita megha. Sudadamam vivashat subanobis chahi yajavidata patapatram. So there it's describing the gopis are back at home doing the churning and other chores. And they're with Krishna. At the beginning of the chapter, it describes how when Krishna would go to the forest, the gopis would be very sad, and their minds would run after him, right? Their minds would be with him. They were churning, but they're with Krishna, with their minds, they're thinking. So this is one of the verses. Along with Balaram and the other coward boys, Sargabhatamsa-vilasa. Krishna is wearing a garland on his head, a little askew, playfully, vilasa. He play with it a little bit. This is called a chaplet. There's a word for that, chaplet. It's a garland for the head. Sanashuchitabhado Vrajadevya. Oh, Vrajadevis, goddesses of Vraja. The gopis are speaking to each other. They're on the side of the mountains now. Sanashuchitabhado Vrajadevya. And Krishna is becoming very joyful while he plays the flute, and he's bringing joy to the whole universe. And then the megha, the cloud, is very afraid of mahatatikamana, of performing an offense by overstepping a superior. Isn't that the first thing you learn in the guru? Don't step over anybody, right? Whatever you do. So especially you have a superior person, you have to know the etiquette, how to act with them. So he's afraid of overstepping Krishna by drowning him out with his thunder. Because if he thunders loudly, then he's going to drown out the flute sound. He doesn't want to do that. That's mahatatikamana, shankataje. So he thunders very gently, manda 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 gaj, in accompaniment. And then he's seeing it's a hot season now. It's hot and the sun is beating down. So he says, oh, I can perform another service for my friend. It describes he's the friend of Krishna. Why? Because he has the same color. And he does services like. So he rises up high, and this is described in the 21st, with his own body, he creates a parasol. You know, like if you're in India, there's a lot of umbrellas. Most of them are for the sun. You know, if you go on Parakram, it's nice to have one of those. So he creates a little parasol. And then he rains down little flower-like droplets of water. In the Krishna book dictation, Prabhupada says snow. Snow, these little flowers, right? Little. So he's raining down a little mist to mist Krishna. So he's cool and he's shaded. And this is how they're seeing the clouds serve Krishna. And the river serves Krishna, right? It becomes ecstatic, it stops flowing, goes around the little whirlpools. And then in the 21st chapter it says, and it offers with great feeling the lotuses, you know. And of course you're seeing how the cows, you know, are drinking in the liquid nectar of the flute song. And they're looking at Krishna with great, the calves that can't, you know, suck the milk anymore. They're stunned. And they're looking at Krishna and taking him within their hearts and embracing him. And of course the mountain we just had yesterday, the best servant of all is this Govardhan Hill, they say. It was very ecstatic because they're being marked by the footprints of Krishna and Balaram. Krishna and Balaram walking on the mountain and marking it, and the mountain is very ecstatic just to be touched by those feet. And then his offering to Krishna's servants. This is a very important lesson. The cows and the coward boys, what can they offer? Well, a little sample is given in this verse. Cool water. You know how it's so much people want to get that nice drinking water. They'll bottle it. Oh, this water comes from the mountain streams up in the Adirondacks. So the natural, pure, pristine water for drinking. And the gourmet grass for the cows. Yeah. Suyabasa. Pani yasuyabasa. Kanda da kanda mulai. Caves for playing. Try to take yourself back. I mean, I grew up in that time when we used to go out to play. I don't know if you ever gone out to play with your friends. Now everyone is inside with the video games. But or you go out and it's not play anymore. It's a serious business. It's competition between the soccer teams and your mother is right there. You have to win, right? No, we used to just play. Like Krishna plays. As soon as they go out to the forest, they're playing all kinds of games. They're teasing each other, stealing their milk bags, right? And their play is their work because they're also herding the cows. Isn't it? What a job. Good job if you can get it. Well, your play is your work. So anyway, so they're out there and they're on the mountain near Govardhan Hill. And there's these caves. Don't you remember you used to find a nice hidden place where you can go and play, you know? So the caves are there, the edible roots for eating, all kinds of things, and many other facilities for playing. So they say this hill is the best. So in Vrindavan, literally everything is serving Krishna and fully Krishna conscious in Goloka Vrindavan and its replica in Vrindavan. But of course, in the Boma Vrindavan, you have to have the special eyes to actually see that. Otherwise, you may see other things in Vrindavan and not have the right vision. But whether you see or not, it's going on, and you're benefited just by being there. So this is actually real life, is where everything and everyone is fully Krishna conscious and is serving Krishna to their own capacity, as they can give that service. So also in our society of Krishna consciousness, we're also meant to bring whatever capacities we have to the service. And gradually as we progress in devotional service and our desire to serve in a certain way manifests by serious hearing and chanting and serving, then we can realize some of this last paragraph, which I'll read again, really beautiful. All living entities are serving Krishna in different ways, but when they are Krishna conscious, their service is fully manifest. As a flower in the bud gradually fructifies and yields its desired aroma and beauty, so when a living entity comes to the platform of Krishna consciousness, the beauty of his real form comes into full blossom. That is the ultimate beauty and ultimate fulfillment of desire. So each of us has this perfected body, you know, within us. It's been buried for a long time due to our involvement in the modes of nature and taking on all of these gross bodies and also the subtle material body covered over. But deep inside, we all have our specific desire to serve Krishna in a certain way. And that desire cannot be quenched. It cannot be destroyed, just as the living entity cannot be destroyed. So the purpose of becoming fully Krishna conscious is to gradually discover, Krishna reveals gradually, that inner specific desire to serve in a certain way. And along with that desire comes the suitable body, called the Siddhadeha, this perfected body for serving Krishna in that way. And that's explained in, very nicely in the 8th chapter of Madhyalila, the discussion with Ramananda Roy. How, you know, spontaneously desiring to serve Krishna in a certain way and then serving in that way, ragatmaka bhakti. This is a goal that we should have. And how to achieve that? Well, we have to become pure. It means, there's a nice verse in the 11th canto, in the teachings of to Maharaj Nimi by the 9 Yogendras. It's a little expansion on Yat Karoshi Yat Ashnasi, which is not where Krishna says, whatever you do, whatever you offer, do it as an offering to me. But here it's described how one should actually think at every moment as you're acting. Kaya inavacha manasindriyava buddhya manava anusutasubhava karoti yad yat sakalam parasmai narayana iti samarpayetat. That whatever we do, man, whatever we do with our body, with our mind, with our words, with our senses, with our intelligence, according to our nature, our psychophysical nature that we've inherited, one should think, oh, this is an offering. This is being done as an offering to Narayan, you see, whatever it is. So, in Krishna consciousness, we're actually given services by which we can be use all of those elements that we have. That covers everything that we have, voice, senses, and so forth. And really feel and really understand this is a service to Krishna. Now, oftentimes when we begin devotional service, we may forget Krishna while doing the service, but we're still doing the service. But the idea here is that at every moment to be aware that, oh, this is a service for Krishna. So everything is part of this big dance, you see? It's part of this dancing. You may be doing this or driving or whatever you may be doing, but this is a service. I'm doing it for Krishna. Now, of course, it helps if you really can directly understand that you really are doing it for Krishna. You can't, as Prabhupada says in that purport in the Bhagavad Gita, you can't do all kinds of nonsense and say, oh, this I'm offering to Krishna. You know? And that's the whole idea behind the ISKCON society. Srila Prabhupada created a society of devotees that where we can actually live together and work together, sustain the body and the necessities of life, but mold one's life in such a way that in every moment of the day you can't but think of Krishna. This is a quote from a lecture I heard recently. So that's the idea behind this ISKCON movement, is that by constantly remembering Krishna through the services that we do, Krishna will purify and gradually reveal to us this ultimate beauty and ultimate fulfillment of our desire. So this happens through effort. Sadhana bhakti means there's effort. And the effort is to always remember Krishna and to give up, reject those things that are blockages to Krishna, that we know are preventing us from thinking of Krishna. And the central practice is always hearing and chanting and remembering. The whole morning program, solid Krishna consciousness. It's all of these five, as has been mentioned repeatedly. Living in a holy place, associating with devotees, hearing Bhagavat Purana, chanting the holy name, and worshiping the deity. You know, these give us a very solid morning. Those who are fortunate enough to regularly attend the morning program, it serves as a foundation for your consciousness the rest of the day. Because here we are living in the middle of Kali Yuga. There are so many influences to divert our attention from Krishna. That's what this material world is all about. To divert your attention. This is Maya. This is Maya's thankless task, as Prabhupada says. Is this person want to continue forgetting Krishna? Then I will help it. Diverting the attention from Krishna. So now, coming to Krishna consciousness means now we have the choice. For millions of births, we didn't even know there was a choice. Lower species, human, coming to the human form, being surrounded by people who are non-Krishna conscious, you know. But by the great effort of our acharyas, our magnificent acharyas, Bhaktivinoda Thakur, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, of course, Srila Prabhupada, This effort to give the choice, to make clear the choice between Krishna consciousness, real auspicious consciousness, and Maya consciousness is now given to us. But now comes our own effort. We have to bring to it our effort to choose Krishna, choose Krishna, choose Krishna, and reject Maya. And the wonderful thing is that, as I always remember this phrase from Lord Kapiladev, that as you become Krishna conscious, Maya acts less powerfully upon you. You know, in other words, the things that trouble us, that divert us, that make it difficult to remember Krishna, if you make the effort to chant nicely and perform the sadhana bhakti, then less and less do those things impinge upon your consciousness. And at a certain point, there's no impingement. You know, even up to the point of sex life, yadavadi mama cheta Krishna padaravinde, practically unimaginable. But after all, that's also artificial. You know, it's just a function of being in a material body. But if the consciousness is fixed on Krishna and drinking the nectar, that nice verse was read about the holy name, tunde tanda banida tingvatunute tundavali labde. I chant the holy name, I want to have millions of tongues. Why only one? Why only one mouth? I can, the name is dancing in the mouth, you know, and it enters the ears, seems to sprout and take over the hearing process, enters into the courtyard of the heart, all the senses become stunned. You know? In such a situation, where is there, you know, temptation for sense gratification? We're going to have this holy name festival. When you're absorbed in that holy name, the whole idea is that the rest of the world is recedes. You know, where there's no Maya. You know, the overwhelming, the association, the hearing and chanting, sankirtan. You know, that's our natural state. The problem is we're so conditioned that the mind rebels against it, and then at first chance, boom, goes for the Maya. So that's where the sadhana comes, drawing it away, again putting it on the holy name, again putting it on Krishna. This is why I like these shlokas so much. They're like you know, nice structures for the mind. We enter into the shloka, and it's a complete idea or description of Krishna. I was chairing last night with Kishore, Krishna. Most of you know he plays a magnificent flute. You know, empowered. He's empowered. I used to play the flute, so I appreciate him more. But I told him, here's a nice shloka about the flute, you know, Krishna and the flute, written by Baladev Vidyabhushan. And he describes there, Rajavipinneva chitta vihago hadivena navo yadababho vidashivashakka tumba dumukha vipadho vidadhu vichitta tam. Before I give you the translation, I'll share something with you. And Prabhupada asked, you know, as he did on the morning walk, he would sometimes ask questions. He says, what's the universal language? What's the universal things that everyone share? And everyone, well, music. You think music, yeah. He says, no, rhythm. Music, yes, but the rhythm is that. Everywhere, you know. So you can see this wonderful rhythm in this chant. It's called chanda, the poetry. So what is he saying there? Vrajavipaneva chitta vihigo. When Krishna in Vrindavan forest, when he plays the flute, the sound flies into the sky like a multicolored bird. I bet you never heard that before. And all of the demigods like Brahma and Shiva and Tumbaru and Narada, they hear the sound. And even though they are the most wise and they know all about the ragas, in fact, Brahma created them, is that still the flute sound of Krishna bewilders them. They can't figure out the intricate melodies and ragas of that flute. And everything in Vrindavan, they say, it changes its nature, reverses. You know, the mountain, you know, begins trembling and, you know, dancing. And the river becomes stunned, stops flowing. And the trees are also moving, you see. Trees are non-moving, but they become moving. They're also trembling in ecstasy. So, and the gopis, they get thrown into the river of anxiety to go and meet Krishna. Describe what that. There's one verse, you know. So you can learn English. Write some English poetry. I've heard these nice little songs. They're writing them for the children. Beautiful songs last night. You know, describing the little Leela. It was just so entrancing to the mind. So this is a whole cultural presentation. It's the culture, the beauty of the deities, the fragrance of the flowers, and most of all, you know, where everything begins, the sound. The beauty of the Bhagavatam verses here. You know, this chapter and the next chapter, which you know, unfortunately Srila Prabhupada wasn't able to complete, the prayers of Brahma. There's so much beauty there, so much philosophy. Those prayers are conclusive. Many of our acharyas have written extensive commentary. I remember when I was working on this Bhagavatam with Gopi Paramadana Babu and Ridhyananda Maharaj about 30 years ago. When we came to chapter 14, they said, we started doing the commentary of Sanatana Goswami, and the, what was it, Dashama Tipani, it's called, one's the name. And they eventually couldn't, it would have taken too long. It was so extensive. Every word, this way and that way. Just like Lord Chaitanya, he did one verse, Atma Rama verse, you know. So the word Atma can mean so many things. And then the word Arama can mean so many things. And so you end up with unlimited meanings. He gave 63 or 64 to Sanatan and a whole bunch to Sovaboma. So similarly, every one of these verses can be understood in so many ways, completely absorbing to the mind. Wonderful explanation. But take some of the ones that Srila Prabhupada would quote all the time. Jnani, Piyasa, Mundapasya, Namandeva. These are the realizations of Brahma from this Leela. If you really want to understand what's going on with the pastime, then you need to read what Brahma understood from it. He's, after all, head of our sampradaya. So what is that verse, Jnani Piyasam? This is the verse that Lord Chaitanya accepted with Ramananda Roy when he was asking him a question. Lord Chaitanya took the role of the guru, of the disciple, right? Let Ramananda Roy speak. So, you know, he's asking him, okay, what's the goal of life? What's the means of attaining it? And even up to the point of Sarva Dharma Padityaja, give up everything and surrender unto me, give up all Dharma. He said, no, this is external. Go on. And finally, when he came to this verse, Jnani Piyasam Udapasya Namandeva, I think it's the second or third verse, he says, this is okay, this is right. So what is that verse? Okay, Jnani Piyasam Udapasya Namandeva. He says, give up all of the hard effort for attaining materialistic knowledge or impersonal knowledge. Neti, neti, this and that, analytics, just throw it away. Jnani Piyasam Udapasya. No, and surrender. And Jivanti San, live this way. Jivanti San Mukaditam Bhavadiyavartam. Listen to the vibrations, the descriptions of, he's speaking to Krishna, your qualities and activities emanating from the mouth of the pure devotees. San Mukaditam Bhavadiyavartam. Vartam really means news. You know, this idea of gospel means the good news. We have that too. Vartam means news, you know, the things that you want to hear, what's going on. So, and this, live in this way. Don't take anything radical. You don't have to take sannyas. Stani stitak. Shutigatam. Follow this path of hearing. But then he gives a kind of a qualification. Tanuvan manobir. Can't be superficial. You have to worship these vibrations with your body, with your mind, with your words. Tanuvan manobir. And if you do this properly, then you'll be able to conquer the unconquerable Lord. How is that possible? Because you'll develop love for Krishna. That's the only way he's conquered. We learned that in chapter 9 with Mother Yashoda, right? She's conquered, she bound up Krishna, not with the ropes, with her love. So that, okay, that's good. And then he went on from there to describe all going up the rasas. So what an important verse. So anyway, I highly recommend that. And it's a wonderful exercise for the mind. You know, and when you have a shloka like that, it's like, I always remember, like picking up a jewel, putting it in your pocket. We should be greedy. As one famous scholar once said, Muni said, greed is good. Remember him? Anyway, but he's, you know, of course, greed for money is bad. That's the worst thing we want. But greed for Krishna is good. So how can you develop that? By being greedy for this knowledge and for service to Krishna, for hearing and chanting and all of these services like that. And then, this is the ultimate beauty and ultimate fulfillment of desire, being Krishna conscious. Oh my God, I kind of went over time. Any questions, quick questions or comments? Haribo. Yes, Pran.
I think this scenery that you have explained, this is not in Vrindavan.
The scenery?
Right.
Okay.
The 60 bars, Jatra Nisarga Nirvaira, you have the 60 bars. That's where the Vrindavan manifestation changed the scenery. Brahmaji experiencing. Now he's experiencing unlimited universes, unlimited Brahma. So he's seeing the Prabhupada gave in the purport very scientific. They assumed a different form.
Uh-huh.
So that's the key that the what is that? Sarvabhuteshu japasyat bhagavat bhavam atmana bhutani bhagavati atmani yasa bhagavata uttama. Brahmaji is given now that position to see their spiritual form that they are engaged.
I see.
So pig is eating stool. To me, pig is eating stool. But the Mahabhagavat will see their spiritual form actually serving.
Right,
both
right.
Perception exist.
Right. Sarvabhuteshu japasye bhagavat bhavam atmani. Yeah, described in the 11th canto. What does the Mahabhagavat see? He sees everybody serving. Prabhupada mentions here. He sees the Lord within everyone and everything in the Lord. You know, and but he sees himself only as not serving. Yeah.
So maybe we should, or maybe I should think like this. This is Mahabhagavat, but I have to, where I am, I have to shoot for the Madhyamadhikari. Discrimination has to be there.
Yeah.
Otherwise, I'll be imitating.
Yeah, we have to come to the point of trying to develop love for Krishna, friendship with each other, mercy to the innocent, and rejecting the envious. That's the Madhyam platform. Thank you, Prabhu. Anyone else want to make a comment or a question? Okay, thank you. Oh, wait, we have a question. Wait. Thank you, Madhyam. Good, run up.
Thank you, Dravida. It's always enlightening listening to you. So just this one four-headed Lord Brahma fell into this illusion, and all the millions of Brahmins with all the millions of heads that Krishna summoned to come and show to him.
But yes,
it was just this one.
You're talking about when he's in Dwarka and Brahma comes to visit?
In this past time. This past time.
Yeah, he's.
Prabhupada gave a very scientific. He said they have assumed different. There's a word. They have taken a different form. Means whatever the moving, non-moving form is materially visible. That's not the form Brahmaji.
Yeah, Murti Madibis. Murti Madibis. He's seeing himself serving here or some other.
Other Brahma.
Some other, but he says four-headed Brahma.
Yeah.
He's seeing four-headed.
Yeah.
So he's seeing all the Brahmas. He's seeing everyone serving. And he's having this special vision. But it's different from this other pastime you're talking about. The other ones, that's in Dwarka, where they all come to offer Krishna. And Krishna was showing him, oh, you're not the only Brahma. There's all of these others, you know, and kind of humbling him a little bit there. Thank you very much. All glories to Srila Prabhupada.